This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
In short, Mr. Bozell, tell me why you're suing.
Well, I'm thinking about suing my neighbor because his wife called me a pig. But he says he's going to sue me because I said his wife smelled like tuna. And it's a moral dilemma, and I wanted to call you because I tried to call these psychology shows, and they always talk about moral dilemmas.
How did this all... So you want to sue your neighbor because his wife called you a pig? He wants to sue you because you said his wife smells like tuna. How did this start? Because the initial steps here sounds a little juvenile.
Well, sir, I can assure you, I will tell you that myself and my wife April and two friends of ours who live next door drove to the beach today, and then we went up to a favorite Italian restaurant. Well, I was wearing shorts, but we had a leather interior in the car.
Okay.
I have a convertible Mustang, which is my pride and joy. I love that car, and on a hot day, I'm sure you understand that your skin can stick to the leather.
All right, so you're in shorts, you're sitting on leather.
Yeah. As we got out of the car, my skin had stuck to the leather, and as it lifted off the leather, I guess you could say it made like a fart noise. Okay, it's a big deal, and you could just not say anything and let it go. But this guy, Hutchins, has this wife, Renee, I have said in the past that she is a ball buster, and I mean it, and I will still say it, and I don't care what people say. And she looks at me, and she says, man, what a pig.
All right, you lifted your bare leg. You were in shorts sitting on leather seats, and it sounded like a fart noise when you peeled yourself off the leather?
That is correct.
And that's when she said, man, what a pig.
That is correct. Were
they joking?
Well, everybody started to laugh, and I said to her and to everybody, I said, I'm sure you can all understand that my skin stuck to the leather, and that's what made the fart noise. But they kept on laughing, even after I explained what made the noise. And they made jokes about me not eating any more garlic and all that. Well, they keep going all the way inside, and this Renee's saying things to me like, maybe you want to use the bathroom first, and she's laughing about this. And I said, but I explained to you that my skin stuck to the leather.
Probably they understood that, didn't they?
Well, but they're laughing about it. And I told them my skin stuck to the leather, and it made a fart noise when I lifted off. And that's when I finally said to her, well, maybe you don't want to smell like tuna anymore. And that's... Because she deserved it, and that was what you call a comeback, and they got angry because I got in a good one.
You got in a good one?
Yes, sir. That's what I feel anyway.
And let me reconstruct this for a minute, okay? You were sitting on leather seats in a convertible, your leg lifted off, and it made a fart noise.
Right.
And then they said, what a pig, and they started laughing and said you ought to use the bathroom, don't eat any more garlic.
And that's when I had my comeback, which is maybe... You don't want to smell like tuna anymore.
You're talking to this man's wife.
Right. And that's when they left. They grabbed a cab home. Now, here's the part that I can't take. My wife thinks I'm in the wrong because I said Renee Hutchins smelled like tuna, and I think it's a lot worse to say I smell like fart smell than for me to say she smells like albacore and spring water.
So what is this moral dilemma you're talking about?
Okay, my moral dilemma is this. Mr. Hutchins is an attorney. He specializes in sexual harassment and workplace harassment. I'm fairly confident that he is contemplating some kind of legal action against me because this guy Hutchins, first of all, he'd crawl up a snake's rear end if he thought a dollar bill was in it. That's number one. So my moral dilemma is, do I have my attorney, who is Dolores Blasingame of Riverside, go ahead and draw up a counter-complaint against Renee Hutchins for harassing me about a fart that I did not cut? Because I'll tell you, I have big shoulders. If I really did cut a fart, I'd take responsibility. But if I didn't, I won't do it. And if you look at what happened to O.J., who everybody thought was guilty, and it turned out he was innocent, that's what's happened to me. I'm not going down for something I didn't do. Why should I go down for something I didn't do?
So because you didn't really cut a fart, and they were laughing at you because they thought they heard that noise, you want to sue them?
Only a countersuit if he sues me for saying his wife smells like tuna.
Which was your big comeback.
Yes, sir.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. This man is contemplating, Mr. Steve Bozell, a lawsuit against his next-door neighbor because his wife said he was a pig and laughed at him because she thought he heard him fart, which he didn't. It was actually his skin sticking to leather as he got out of his car.
Also, Mr. Hendry, a comeback, when I said, well, maybe you just don't want to smell like no tuna... That's what you call a comeback, which is a tool that comedians use all the time to combat hecklers in the nightclubs that they are in. And Renee Hutchins was a heckler by saying I was a pig by making the sound of the gas escaping.
So you had this comeback, you smell like tuna.
Yeah.
You want to sue her because why? What is your lawsuit going to be?
Well, my attorney says that I have a very good defamation of character witness against her for saying I was a pig in front of witnesses. She also says I have a very good slander civil action because she publicly basically announced that I farted and I didn't. And slander technically is saying something that isn't true about someone. And the last thing is, as you know, Mr. Henry, I'm a diabetic. And with the emotional upset of the evening, I did not eat. And I was about 3 minutes away from diabetic shock. So thank God my wife April had a power bar in her purse. Now, I used to do amateur stand-up comedy on amateur nights, so my comeback was a natural reaction to say to her.
When a woman says to you, or anybody says to you, Mr. Bozell, oh, what a pig, and even though you explained that you really didn't fart, and they're laughing, it seems to me they know that you really didn't, and you just made a funny noise.
All right.
When you come back and you say, well, maybe you smell like tuna.
Well, that's a natural comeback based on my stand-up comedy comedian experience.
All right.
So that's
you're saying that's why you shouldn't be sued for saying she smells like tuna because...
Because I said that because it's a natural reaction on account of when I was a stand-up comic. That's what stand-up comics do. They come to get a quick comeback.
So you shouldn't be sued for having a comeback?
No, sir.
But she should be sued for saying you're a pig because she thought you farted.
Yes, sir.
And I don't suppose she has any comedy experience.
No, she does not. She's been a housewife.
All right, basically you're going to sue a neighbor's wife that's your neighbor and your neighbor for making a joke about the fact that your skin coming off of leather sounded like a fart.
And I'll tell you something, Mr. Henry, there's an old saying, and I always lean on this. Only when you've walked in the deepest valley can you know how magnificent it is to stand on the highest mountaintop. And I put up with humiliation.
Well, you said that she smelled like tuna.
Yeah, well, she started it. She said I smelled like a fart.
Well, she was just making a joke based on the sound.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll see how funny she thinks it is when she's served with our civil complaint.
And your moral dilemma is what?
My moral dilemma is, do I stay friends with them or not? Because we're supposed to go golfing tomorrow morning. And I have a 7 a.m. tee off.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Should Mr. Bozell go golfing with this guy tomorrow morning, or are they still friends? Is he not legally culpable because of his stand-up comedy experience and having a quick comeback? Here is Val on the Phil Henry Show. Val?
Hi.
Hi, Val.
I can't believe that this moron is comparing himself to O.J. Simpson, who he said was found innocent.
Yes, he was.
He was found not guilty.
Okay, same
by
difference.
By this jury, but he is guilty, and everybody knows
it. Are you God? Are you God? I don't think you're God.
Are you God?
Well, I know what the jury said. I know what the judge said.
No, you're a man that you can't take a joke. And what you said to that woman was disgusting.
Wait a
it
minute.
Was personal.
She called me a pig, even though I had not farted. It was a sound made by my skin on the leather.
Everybody was laughing. It was a joke.
Okay.
But when you say something personal about a woman that way,
you don't
that's disgusting.
You don't think she was saying something personal about me?
No, it was a joke.
Oh, then I was saying a joke, too.
No, it wasn't.
Why can't I joke when she gets the joke, but I can't joke?
Well, I think you're pathetic.
I mean, a pig or a tuna, what's the difference?
I can't believe that you're talking about lawsuits over something this ridiculous.
Ma'am,
and I'm glad her husband's a lawyer because you should be sued for what you
said. Only when you've walked in the deepest valley can you know how magnificent it is to walk on the highest hilltop. And I was going out.
You're a warped human being.
Oh,
you are warped.
Ma'am, I'm going to sue only because she said that I made a fart noise, which I didn't. And because I said tuna is because I'm a stand-up. I used to be a stand-up comic. That's what you call a comeback.
Well, that's not funny.
Well,
making a fart noise is funny. They sell whoopee cushions. They don't sell cans of tuna that women can put in their underpants.
I am a diabetic, and Renee Hutchins could have had blood on her hands because she called me a fart pig.
Oh, my God.
And also, how do you know they don't sell tuna to put in underpants? I don't know what the joke market is doing now.
Oh, come that on, is... man. I never heard of a... I have, like the Val said, have heard of whoopee cushions. I've never heard of a can of tuna. It's a very personal, sickening thing,
it is,
okay?
It is.
No, sir. Mr. Henry, I used to be a stand-up comic. I think I know what...
Well, you were not a very funny one, and that's probably why you were used to be one. You're not a very funny man. You're just, you're warped.
Okay, let me ask you something. Do you really know what's in Mazingale? No, you don't.
What's in what?
In Mazingale. In the hygiene spray.
Well, we know it ain't tuna in spring water.
It's not tuna fish.
Okay. Do you know if it's dolphin free? See, that's a joke, okay?
You're not very funny at all. What do you do for a living now?
I have my own construction concern, but you got to admit that was funny.
Is Mazingale dolphin free? It's just a very low, juvenile thing to say.
All right. Well, Mr. Henry, I can tell you right now, I've got a very good attorney. Somebody doesn't call me a pig and get away with it, especially when she accuses me of doing something I didn't do. That's why I made the OJ reference. If I really farted, I would have stood up like a man and said, yeah, I cut a fart. But I did not. And now she, and O.J. was accused of the same thing.
He wasn't accused of cutting a fart. He was accused of murdering a woman.
And they found out that he was not guilty.
The jury found him not guilty.
Right,
they didn't find him innocent.
Well,
he is guilty.
Well, so are you. I don't know how
you probably did fart.
No, I did not. My skin stuck to leather.
I don't believe it.
Okay, well, see, now who's being juvenile? Well, then maybe I think you smell like tuna fish.
Oh, come on. Thank you, Val, for your call.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
I was accused of cutting a fart, and O.J. was accused of cutting off a head, okay? And what I'm trying to do is work my stand-up comedy experience into having a...
Do me a favor, will you?
Yes, sir.
Just don't try to do laughs. Don't try to do laughs.
No, but I'm saying it's important to this case because of my stand-up comedy experience.
Then you gave a comeback to the woman.
That's correct.
All right, so that was part of your professional training as a comedian. She said you smell like a pig, and you said, well, you smell like tuna, and that's part of your professional training.
Right, and that's why I said, if I cut a fart, O.J. cut off a head.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's just keep the shtick to a minimum, okay? Mr. Stephen Bozell, he's a construction contractor who has his attorney contemplating a counter... I don't know, there's a lawsuit going between these people, their neighbors. His leg stuck to a leather seat as he was getting out of the car. It made a fart noise, and the wife of his friend said he sounded like a pig, and she kept laughing about it. So he said she smelled like tuna, and the family left, and they're threatening a lawsuit, and he's threatening to countersue, saying that it was harassment and that she slandered him. He didn't really cut a fart. And that technically is slander, and he's hired his attorney, etc. He says his moral dilemma is this. Should he still remain friends with them because they have a tee-off time tomorrow at 7? Now, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 if you want to weigh in on this moral dilemma that this gentleman, Mr. Bozell, is having. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
What we have here is Mr. Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California, Mr. Roy Hutchins, a lawyer. These two couples, the husbands and wives, went out. Mr. Bozell got out of a car wearing shorts. The skin on the leather made a farting sound. Mr. Hutchins' wife said, boy, you sound like a pig. She laughed at him. Mr. Bozell felt so humiliated that he told her she smelled like tuna, which you call a comeback based upon your stand-up comedy experience.
That is correct.
So what she said to you was mean, but what you said to her...
That was simply based upon my comedy experience because you use comedy to diffuse the situation.
All right, well, in any event, you are contemplating suing her for slander because you didn't really fart, and by her saying that...
That is technically slander. That is, according to my attorney, Dolores Blazingame, he says that a slander can be a statement publicly uttered that is untrue.
And also other things here. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go here to Sheila. Hi, Sheila, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, hon.
Yes, hi.
I just have a comment. First of all, you can't. There's no way you can call yourself a professional comedian, past or present. What you're doing is just stupid.
Are you in the entertainment business?
What I'm getting at is you're cramming the courts full of stupid causes that's just costing the taxpayers money, and it's ignorant.
Well, ma'am, what do you mean I'm not a professional comedian? I made a comeback to her.
That wasn't professional.
About smelling like
tuna fish? It was stupid and cruel.
Well, first of all, she said I farted, and that's not true. That's technically slander.
Well, you know what?
Secondly, when I said you smell like tuna, I've often used that line in my nightclub act. If somebody says, get off the stage, you stink, and I'll go, well, you smell like tuna. That's a common stand-up comedy line.
A common stand-up comedy line.
Not at any comedy shows I've been to. Nothing common about that.
Well, like one guy.
All you have done. Can I speak, please?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
All you have done is showed the stupidity that you are.
Ma'am, I'm not the one who said you smell like a pig. My skin stuck to the leather, and it sounded like a fart noise.
Well, okay, you know, all you had to do was probably explain to this woman. She probably would have been very gracious and, apologized.
I did. I said, no, you don't understand. That was my skin stuck to the leather. And she goes, yeah, sure. Why don't you use the bathroom before we go into dinner and all that? And then I said, no, you don't understand. It was my skin stuck to leather. Then she goes, yeah, right. And I go, well, then you smell like albacore and spring water.
Well, you know what? It's still stupid. Grown people carrying ignorant remarks this far and cramming our judicial system with court cases that are stupid.
Well, ma'am, O.J. Simpson, everybody thought was guilty.
Oh, you know what? You are so stupid. That statement is so stupid. You and O.J.
Everybody thought he was guilty and come to find out that he was not guilty. See, same thing with me. I did not cut a fart. Come to find out I didn't cut a fart, but she thought I did.
You must have an ego the size of New York City.
Why do you say that? I'm simply trying...
Comparing what has happened with you to what happened with O.J., that's just ignorant.
Can I ask you a question? Because I've got a sense that I'm talking to someone famous. Could you say, hi, I'm Martha Ray by Paula Dent? Because...
What?
Is this Martha Ray?
You are really an idiot, aren't you? I'm just a good old country girl from Arkansas.
I swear to God, you sound like... Could you just say, hi, I'm Martha Ray?
No, I won't, because I'm not...
I used to be a stand-up comic. And
yeah, okay, we got about how you were a stand-up comic and the
I'm
big comeback.
I'm sick of it.
Well, only if you walked in the deepest valley.
You are so
right,
full
now,
of it.
See, now you're laughing at me. I said...
No, I'm laughing at the idea that you could be so ignorant.
Ma'am, tell me that this isn't funny. I said to her, I should have brought my fishing pole. I could have caught dinner in your pants. And it,
if I were her husband, I would have clocked you.
Exactly. That's my point. You're lucky they're suing you and not beating the whole entire out of you.
They're not doing what, ma'am?
If I had been her husband,
yes,
I would have decked your ass.
Why?
Because you're rude, crude, and obnoxious.
Ma'am.
All right, what was that?
Nothing, sir. Ma'am.
Yes.
All I'm saying is this. There was a little trial that happened not too long ago. I'm sure you remember about it. The Manson family trial, okay? Everybody thought Manson was innocent. Come to find out, he did it.
Now okay? You're comparing yourself to Manson?
No.
You know what?
What a moron.
Okay. I'm swearing, he is such an idiot.
I'm going to ask you to watch your comments, sir, because you could be sued.
What are you going to sue me for?
Let me tell you something. If you get up and speak in court, he will have his point proven. You are a moron.
I have never even got my closing line out about how nice she'd look in a casserole. And
you're
that's
disgusting.
What I'm...
You are just disgusting.
But I used to do stand-up comedy.
Oh,
you know, I would advise you not to care. You a new asshole.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Steve is suing because somebody said he farted.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
How sweet it is to be on the highest mountaintop.
All right, I know. All right, former stand-up comic and current construction contractor Steve Bozell is with us. He's suing his next-door neighbor's wife because she called him a pig when she thought he farted. In point of fact, it was his skin coming off of the leather, and she wouldn't let up with the joke, so you said that she smelled like tuna, and now they're threatening a countersuit. And
no, I'm the one threatening the countersuit.
All right, you're the one threatening the countersuit. I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686. Jennifer, hi. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. Steve?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you keep saying that you're a stand-up comic.
I was a former stand-up comic.
You were a former stand-up comic.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
So somebody who's a former stand-up comic should be able to know how to take a joke, don't you think?
That is an interesting point, but I think I draw the line at being called a pig. Okay?
Well, my gosh.
I draw the line at being called a pig.
No, there are so many stand-up comics
in this
world.
Let me ask you a question. What's so funny about being called a pig? I'd like to know.
There's nothing funny about that,
okay.
But there's nothing else funny about being called a tuna or saying something about tuna. And what are you teaching your children?
Ma'am, I teach my children to say their prayers at night and to do all the
That's wonderful.
Okay.
I'm really happy that you tell them to say their prayers at night, and that's wonderful.
Well,
but if you're going to be suing somebody for calling you a pig and because you made a farting noise, don't most fathers, you know, use their underarm and their hand and make a farting noise to their kid, and we all laugh about it, and that's funny?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you don't know.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay,
your armpit, and you make a fart noise.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine, but for this ball buster who's married to this guy, and believe me, she's a ball buster. I've known this woman for five years.
Yeah.
She is. And she's
okay,
always trying to humiliate
me. Okay, he must have done something else to you.
You know, you sound like one of these women, and I can tell the sound of your voice. You think this whole thing's funny.
Oh, it's hilarious. I think it's, yes, I do. I think you're an absolute idiot.
Yeah, and I can hear you laughing, Mr. Henry, too.
Oh, come on, pal.
I think we all are, sir. I think, Steve, that the entire world, whoever is listening to this show, is laughing at you, that you're comparing yourself to the Manson family now. I mean, come on, who are you? Who are you? You're just a little guy, Steve. You're just little Steve.
Jennifer? Who are you?
I'm a person with an opinion. That's all I am.
So
I'm just a person with an opinion listening to a talk show that is a good talk show but has an absolute idiot on it.
So I could say to you, hey, why don't I just get a fishing pole and catch dinner in your pants? You think that's funny?
Yeah, my husband will knock you over. You say that to me and my husband will knock you over.
I just did.
You know what?
I'll
knock you over.
Well, wait a minute.
I just did, but you can't hit me because I'm not even in the same state as you.
Well, you know what? That's that's fine.
But the bottom line is, if you're a former stand-up comic, you didn't say anything funny to her. Just said something really
Look it. I worked as Super Steve McFunny. That was my stage name.
Steve McFunny. Oh, my gosh. No wonder you didn't get any jokes. Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, Mr. Henry. I'd like to make a statement, okay?
Whatever.
All of you, this is a joke, okay? Tell me that this isn't funny.
Yeah, why don't you do some of your act? Give me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, Jesus walked into a bar with three nails in his hand, and he gives them to the innkeeper and says, "Can you put me up for the night?"
Yeah.
Okay, you know it. Both of you can go to hell.
Well.
Oh, he hung up. No, he hung up.
Oh, too bad.
I mean, here's a guy who is, you made the best point of all, Jennifer, when you said if you're a former stand-up comic, don't you know how to take a joke as well as give a joke?
Yeah.
Now, look at this. What, you're calling back, sir?
Yes, sir.
I don't like anybody telling me to go to hell and calling my show back.
Okay, can I do one more joke?
And if I don't laugh, are you going to tell me to go to hell again?
No, I won't.
What?
What's the best form of birth control?
I don't know, what?
Being naked.
Well, maybe for you.
Okay, forget it.
Oh, no, he hangs up on
us. Yeah, he hung up again.
Oh, what an idiot. Oh, my gosh.
Well, Jennifer, I appreciate it because, again, you made a very good point. And the point being, this is a guy who's been advertising for the whole hour that he's been on the show. What do you want now? You've called back for the third time.
You can both go to the land of the devil.
Go away.
Yeah, he hung up. All right, Jennifer, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Go to the land of the devil. I don't get that joke. What's the best form of birth control? Being naked. Did you get that? What's that mean? It's not... that maybe he's disgusting looking? The person you're looking at? Oh, anyway. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
As you know, this week is Stay Off Drugs Week, and we wanted to do our part in the program to get the message out to as many young people as we can that drugs are really not the way to go. They're just not there. They are not a viable alternative. They're not going to open your eyes to anything. They're really not going to do anything other than retard your eventual growth into happiness. I mean, isn't that the goal? Now, having said that, I've got to tell you, I really do appreciate very much this next young man coming on our program. His name is Jeff Dowder. He lives in Temple City. And, Jeff, you're at your home right now?
Yes, I am.
And can you tell me something? Do you live alone, or?
I put down my parents' house now, but also I put down a deposit on a house that I'll probably be sharing with some members of a band that I'm trying to get into.
Okay, is that a cell phone you're on there?
It's a, I don't know, it's...
Does it have a cord attached to it?
No, sir.
Okay, so it could be a cordless phone?
It is cordless, yeah. I don't know if it's a cell or not. I could check if you want it.
No, that's fine. You're probably on a cordless phone. Get a little bit closer to the base. Jeff, how long have you smoked? You primarily describe yourself as an addictive smoker of marijuana. Is that correct? Are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Okay. You describe yourself primarily as an addictive smoker of marijuana. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, I don't know. You can hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're addicted to marijuana.
Yes, sir, I am.
Now we know that there is really no substantial proof that marijuana is physically addicting. So you're talking about a psychological addiction.
That's it. In my mind, I'm addicted, mostly in my mind. But I have tried to quit, but I'm just not, it's not going too good.
It's not going too good, trying to quit smoking pot.
Yeah, it's not really doing, you know, I try to quit smoking, but every time I try to quit, I feel more peaceful when I'm smoking it.
Well, what would you say negative happened to you, smoking marijuana? Are you smoking dope right now?
I am. Partially, yes, sir, I am.
So you're always smoking this stuff?
I would not say it always, because obviously I sleep and, you know, I eat.
All right, besides sleeping and eating and doing all that, are you always smoking dope?
I pretty much do start every day with Prozac. I'll probably zap a Vipper in the morning and Wacky-Backy or whatever. I mean, like marijuana in the afternoon. So
you're smoking weed all the time?
I'm doing it a lot, yeah. And it's not helped me at all. Because
is there any way you could not smoke it while you're talking to me?
I could, but...
No, on second thought, never mind. Just go ahead. Because I guess that's your life, isn't it?
It pretty much is, right. It pretty much is on account of it does give me a more peaceful feeling. A peaceful, easy feeling. Which is like, I guess a song about it or something.
All right, we're talking with Jeff Dowder, who's a marijuana smoker and has been smoking... Pots. How long have you been smoking dope? How long have you been smoking weed?
Probably about since I was 10.
How old are you now?
I'm 28.
So how long has that been?
That's 18 years.
Yes, 18 years. You've been smoking pot since you were 10 years of age. How has it affected your life negatively? You say you're not motivated to do anything? You're not...
No, I don't really... I had a dream one time of being a musician, but on account I smoked... pot, it robbed me of all of everything that I want to do. And that's the thing I'd say to all any of the young people that are listening to you now.
Oh, will you come on, man?
I'm sorry, but see, that's the state that I'm in, and that's the state that I'm in.
Okay, even when you're talking to me, you're knocking on that bong. So you're going to say to the young people...
I just say to young people, you... Don't do it, man. Don't do it.
Don't do what?
Don't smoke pot.
Because?
It's bad.
It's bad for you.
It is bad for you.
What did it do to you that's bad?
Probably everything.
Like what? I mean, you're still living at home.
Yeah, I'm still living at home. Like I say, the only good thing that marijuana has done for me is that I was able to use it for my musicianship.
So you're a musician.
Yeah.
Because you did tell me you're in a band. Are you a good musician?
Yeah, I would say that I am fairly proficient. I'm very interested in jazz. I was very much a fan of John Coltrane and many of the modalities that he do. Hold on for a minute. This thing went out. And
I mean, this is ironic, man. I'm sitting here talking to you about how pot can ruin your life, and you're sitting there smoking it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do. I mean, I'm a drummer, okay, but I sold my sweet drum kit to buy the weed. It's a little hard to record with a drum pad, so.
Look at that, man. You smoke so much dope that you sell your drum kit to buy some pot, and now all you have is a drum pad.
But I can knock it out pretty good on the drum pad if you do.
Have you got your drum pad with you?
Yeah.
All right, so you're making the claim that marijuana has ruined you in every possible way except as a musician.
Except as a musician, that's right, because I do have fairly decent chops when it comes to some of the jazz modalities.
Can we hear? Can we hear?
Yeah, hold on. I don't light that up, hold on.
Okay, you're going to play some drum licks for us?
Hold on.
Knock it off with the dope for just a few seconds, okay?
Okay. All right, what do you want to hear?
Just play some jazz crap on the drums, okay?
Well, I mean, I have a little more respect for it.
Well, just play some of the jazz stuff that you know.
All right. This is, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, this is a 5-4 beat. This is made popular by Dave Brubeck with his quartet, and the song was called Take Five. This is 5 beats per measure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. See? That's just so you know that it's...
Yeah, I get it. You counted out 5 beats.
That's right. 4 beats beat. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, that's 4 beats.
That's 4-4 time.
That's 4-4 time. 5-4 time is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then it's...
I get it, man, because 5 is 5 and 4 is 4.
Okay, hold on.
All right.
You there?
I'm right here waiting to hear it, man.
All right, here we go. This is 5-4 time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, I zoned for a minute. Hold on.
Come on, man. You don't need to have a knock on that thing every time you blow it.
Well, it sounded like a horse hoof. It's like a Western or something. Like, you know.
Just play the drums, the jazz.
All right, you want the jazz?
Yes.
Alright, hold on, I gotta
get it. Yeah, don't forget that, man.
Alright, here we go. Well, it goes like that. So, that's really...
So that's jazz.
That's what my training was, yeah.
Alright, I'm not knowledgeable about jazz, but... That sounded very unusual, and...
Yeah, well, jazz is a very unusual rhythm, and again, I've studied John Coltrane. I've studied John Coltrane, other people. But you think my marijuana situation is bad, but I used to huff.
You were huffing what?
I was huffing paint, and I still do, but I'm probably not as bad as it used to be.
So you're smoking weed... You're huffing paint.
No, I don't huff paint anymore. I've tried to wean myself off huffing paint. I was huffing Glade air freshener and also Bactine.
Huffing Bactine. You were huffing Bactine.
Yes, I was.
Have you gotten off of that, man? Because that'll get... You talk about killing brain cells.
Yeah, I'm off that now. And now I've tried to stay away. I've gone... Huffed like 7-Up bubbles and coffee aroma. One time I kicked the silver paint, and then I was doing lacquer once in a while.
Are you still doing lacquer?
I'm not doing any lacquer. Not since my mom decided she wanted to refinish her desk, so.
Not enough lacquer, huh?
Not currently, no. But that's the problem. What's happening with a lot of people are refurbishing houses.
They're buying up all the lacquer to put on the wood?
Yeah. So it's impossible to huff it.
Well, what are you huffing now, man? You said you're, what are you huffing? You coffee?
I do, yeah. It's embarrassing. I'll go into Starbucks and just sit and just, yeah, but, and also the trouble that I was in with the police.
Now, your mother spoke with us earlier. She said you'd had some problem with the police. Was this a breaking and entering?
No, sir. I was just at the back door because I had been huffing. Okay, I've been huffing bubble up, and I've been.
You were huffing bubble up.
Only the bubble part.
Yeah.
And try distorted espresso beans. I grind them up and just do a line of, like, latte beans.
Uh-huh.
But that was, like, bad. And then the thing that I finally did is that I, because I couldn't huff no blade, so I started to huff diapers.
So that, when you say huffing diapers.
Yeah.
You were getting into the laundry of the lady next door?
I was. Yes, sir, I was. Yes, sir, I was.
And you're huffing old, crap-filled diapers.
Yeah, and that's...
You see how far you can sink, folks? Do you see how far a man can sink? Wait.
They were scented, though.
Well, it doesn't make any difference if they're scented. If a kid crapped into them, that really...
Yeah, well, that's the point. But I would say, people say to me, how would you huff a diaper with some with baby load in it, and I'd say, well, but they're scented. And that's when they'd laugh.
Well, they're laughing because it doesn't make any difference if they're scented after a baby craps in it.
I also won.
Oh, this guy with a pot.
I also, they're Ocean Breeze Huggies, which generally smell good.
Well, they ain't going to smell good after a kid's crapped into them.
That's the part that I found out, as I guess...
Well, if there was something you wanted to say to the kids out there, because we've been listening to you, Jeff, for the last 15 minutes talking about your dope problem and the fact that you're huffing diapers, what would you say to them?
I'd say it's a downward spiral, and if you look at me, I started with pot, and then I went on, I huffed blade and all other stuff. And
paint. And lacquer until people started refinishing their houses.
Yeah, and there was a short supply of that until finally now I've reached the bottom. I got my nose stuck, and some kids do. There's no way, man, that that could have happened to me. It's just...
It's just shocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why don't you quit?
If I quit, man, and I can quit the pot. I can quit smoking the pot.
But?
There's no way I stay away from diapers.
Will you put the freaking pot down?
I'm sorry.
No way you can stay away from diapers.
That's... psychologically addicting. That's
what. No, it's not a physical addiction.
Not so far as medical science, no.
All right, Jeff.
When the kid next door...
And now, Phil Hendry.
All right, what is the latest that we're getting from Western Estates Homeowners Association now? Bobby Dooley is on the line with us and her husband, Steve.
Well, Phil, this is obviously a power play on the part of the executive meeting, of the executive committee to wrest power away from us. My husband really believes that this is a power play.
All right, you're going to have to bring people up to speed. Have you been stripped of your presidency of the Western Estates Homeowners Association? This is a homeowners association representing some 200 homes in West Hills, right?
That is correct, yes.
What? And you have been stripped of your presidency?
Yes, I have, but it's not going to last, Phil.
Why have they done this?
This is because they are resentful of the fact that I have helped shape this neighborhood. I have helped shepherd this community for the last 7 years. Many of their children, quite frankly, would be dead if it wasn't for me.
No, but why ostensibly are they saying that they don't want you to be the president?
Well, the genesis of this is the executive order that I issued for the Homeowners Association about the so-called Martin Luther King holiday. It was my husband's feeling, and I agree, that African Americans are very formal with their names. Martin Luther King, the very name itself, is a very formal name. European Americans and white Americans are a little bit more informal. We just don't talk the same way. To give you an example, Phil, if I were black, I would be, instead of Bobby Dooley, I would be Roberta Dooley. Steve would be Stephen Dooley. Western Estates is a predominantly white community. I wanted Dr. King's birthday to be relevant to our children, to the Caucasian American, European American, and white American children that live here. I ordered that our message board in front of our community and that our correspondence be changed to refer to Monday as instead of the very formal Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. birthday, that we have some fun and we call it Marty King's birthday. And our official correspondence said so. The executive board then...
You want to change the name of Martin Luther King to Marty King?
No, it's just for the birthday.
Just for the birthday, for Martin Luther King's birthday. We feel that that is relevant to...
Are you making a joke out of this man's life, or...
No, Phil, we are not. It's really insulting that you'd say that.
Well, Marty King...
Phil, think of the resistance that many in the white community have had to Martin Luther King's birthday being an official holiday. Look at the state of Arizona in particular. Look at the states of Oregon and Utah. Many states where it is not even a legal holiday. The way to get white America to accept Dr. King, in our opinion, Steve...
We need to have him become more accessible to white people.
Well, to have him become more accessible to white people, maybe just educate as to the man's teachings.
Dr. King did a lot of good things.
We are not against Dr. King. We think he's wonderful. But we thought that Marty King, and we still think, calling Martin Luther King is so formal.
All right, well then, so they wanted to strip the power from you. Is that it?
They wanted to... They said it was disrespectful. I explained to them that it wasn't. They said also in a letter that they thought I needed... And get this, Phil... They thought I needed a psychiatrist. Many of their children would be dead today because of me. I'm going to tell you the story.
If Steve's going to be on the air with you, then be on the air, all right, Steve?
I want to tell you, Phil, many of our children would be dead today in Western Estates if it wasn't...
Well, why do you say that?
I argued and I got funded speed bumps to slow our traffic down and save the lives of thousands of children every year in Western Estates. Now, we have only 150 children. But if you multiply that over the number of days that we've had the speed bumps, that is over 1,000 children's lives would have been saved. Lorraine Hawthorne, who was instrumental in saying that I needed a psychiatrist for wanting to rename Martin Luther King's birthday to Marty King, her daughter has multiple dystrophy and is in a wheelchair and would be dead today if it wasn't for the fact that I put those speed bumps in.
And all right, this is going pretty fast, and I want to get a phone number out before we go any further. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley. Bobby Dooley's been stripped of the presidency of her homeowners association for wanting to rename Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. birthday Marty King's birthday because an informal name is more accessible to white people, and that's one of the reasons why whites have resisted Dr. King's birthday. 1-800-449-8686 is our phone number, 1-800-449-8686. Now, you're saying that you saved the life of a woman's child by getting speed bumps in?
Yes.
How?
Well, Phil, I am generally on my way to some event. I'm on my way to a series of meetings. I'm on my way to an event. Someone needs me. It's not unusual to see my champagne-colored S-Series just racing through the gates, off to a meeting or off to some event. And one day I remembered saying, Bobby, there's speed bumps, slow down. I was saying this to myself.
Right.
And as I slowed down, thank God, I hit the edge of Catherine Hawthorne's wheelchair. And I didn't hurt her, but I did see her wheelchair spinning in the street as I went by.
And if you hadn't slowed down for the speed bump?
If I hadn't slowed down for the speed bump, I'm sure she'd be dead. But I looked in the rearview mirror, I had clipped the front end, and the only thing that happened to the poor girl was...
Well, her chair was spinning, and they said that caused equilibrium.
Because she has dystrophy.
So her chair was spinning around in the street as after you hit it?
That's right.
Did you stop?
Well, that's the beauty of the speed bumps. It slowed me down enough where I didn't have to stop. I could see that she was all right. But you see, her wheelchair was spinning on one wheel, wasn't it?
It was spinning on one wheel, yeah.
And that, to me, says that those speed bumps slowed down my car enough whereby I didn't kill that child.
Because she was strapped in her chair.
She was strapped into the chair.
All right, because you slowed down long enough not to kill some woman's child because you put in speed bumps means that that woman is being disloyal?
She has called for my ouster, yeah. And she's also recommended that I see a psychiatrist.
Bobby, don't you think it's a little bit disrespectful to call Martin Luther King Marty King?
No, I do not.
Why?
Because I think it is a very accessible name. Phil, they call Abraham Lincoln Abe Lincoln. They called John Kennedy Jack Kennedy. They called Dwight Eisenhower Ike. They have called people down through the years by a nickname. It makes them accessible. Marty King is a perfectly accessible name, an acceptable name for Dr. Martin Luther King. And as such, I certainly don't think. But here is the problem. I really don't know where they think they're getting off stripping me of my presidency. If it wasn't for me, that neighborhood would be nothing. So this is a power play. They're not going to win it. I will do what I must with that neighborhood. And if that means renaming Martin Luther King's birthday, I'll do that.
Well, I mean, you have homeowners there who are against it.
Well, I don't care if they're against it. I'm the president of the Homeowners Association. What I say goes.
Well, they've stripped you of your presidency.
I'll get back in.
We'll get back in. We have to take over the meeting.
Well, I don't know how you get back in as the president of a homeowners association that has stripped you of your power. And I got to tell you something. I may not think that you need a psychiatrist, but it is really weird to call Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Marty King. All right.
And you're a white man, and you're saying that.
And I'm a white man, and I'm saying that. Yes. I don't know any guys named Martin, and I don't know any guys named Robert or Stephen or Roberta, for that matter. But I think the man's name is what the man's name is.
Well, I think that's the.
Well, not Marty King.
No, I wouldn't call him Marty K either, okay?
That's the political correctness that so many people are tied up in. And I have told them what I want. Now, I want to see the sign changed. I'm going to be back at our Homeowners Association meeting.
Well, you want to see the sign changed from what?
Martin Luther King's birthday is Monday. I want to see it changed to Marty King.
By when? By Monday?
By Monday, yes. We're having a Homeowners Association meeting on Friday. I will go in. I will take my rightful place as the president. They don't strip me of my power. I'm the one that put in the speed bumps. I'm the one that re-landscaped the pool. I'm the one that had the whole Magnolia phase planned for the last 6 years. They don't take my power away from me.
Yeah, they had a lot of fun things planned on Marty shots, things like that.
We were going to do some Marty shots, things like that.
Marty shots. What are these, drinks?
I'm sorry?
What is a Marty shot, a drink?
Yes.
On Martin Luther King's birthday. Look, I think you guys are way off the beaten path on this thing, man. Nobody...
Well, if you don't change Martin Luther King's name, then you're going to have more and more whites resisting this as a birthday.
Look, Arizona accepted his birthday as a national holiday, and they didn't need to change his name to Marty King.
Phil, I am the one that saved that poor girl with multiple dystrophy from a slow and painful death.
You were the one that was racing into the community in the first place. And you hit her, and her wheelchair went spinning.
But if it hadn't been for the fact that I put in the speed bumps...
I know, you wouldn't have slowed down in the first place. That's crazy logic, okay? You put the speed bumps in, which reminded you to slow down, so you didn't kill anybody. So what? We should all be grateful that you slowed down?
Marty shots like old English 800s mixed with gin.
I don't care what a Marty shot is. Old English 800 mixed with gin. That's racist.
Why?
Because that's that whole thing about old English 800 and black people, okay? What is it with you guys? I think that this is a very veiled attempt to mock and make fun of that great man's birthday, all right?
Phil, this is an attempt to get white people to understand his birthday. I understand it. I know what Martin Luther King represents to this country. I've studied his life. Most white people don't. You don't have to worry about me. I respect Martin Luther King. but I know what it takes to get white people to understand the contributions of African Americans. You have to, first of all, make them acceptable to the white community. And the way you do that is to make their names accessible. For instance...
Yeah, Marty King.
Marty King.
That's... I don't know if you have your name yours. You got anybody's name Ed?
Yeah, I got some friends named Ed. Do they call Ted Kennedy Ed Kennedy?
Call him Ted. Said Edward.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
I just think that the African-Americans need to loosen up and accept that, too.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Hold on for a minute. Well, they say she needs a psychiatrist. She wanted to change the name of Martin Luther King's birthday to Marty King Birthday Day, or whatever the hell it is, Marty King. And she says that the Homeowners Association owes her because she's the one that put in the speed bumps. And if there hadn't been speed bumps, she wouldn't have slowed down that day long enough just to clip Catherine Hawthorne's wheelchair and send the child spinning through the streets as opposed to just getting crushed by her, what is it, champagne-colored S-Series. 1-800-449-8686. The premise here is that whites need to have a name they can relate to. Otherwise, they don't get Martin Luther King. Bobby says she understands. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley, president of the Homeowners Association of Western Estates, has been removed, at least temporarily, as president by the other executive members of that board because she wanted to rename Martin Luther King Holiday Marty King at your community, right?
Phil, that is right. We're not trying to rename it for the whole country. We are trying to get the white people that live in suburban America to understand the life of Martin Luther King. One of the ways you do that...
I know. One of the ways you do that is by making his name more accessible to whites. Call him Marty King. Now, you say that these people have taken your presidency away from you because they don't like your matriarchal ways. But apparently, they owe you because you put in speed bumps that made you slow down one day long enough not to hit some kid in a wheelchair. All she did was spin. You didn't hit the chair over.
You know, Phil, your sarcasm...
No, isn't that what you said?
That's what I said, yes.
Excuse me. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Arlene. Arlene, hi.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I would like to speak to Bob. Is this Bob Dooley on the phone?
My name is Bobby.
Well, we can't call you a nickname either?
My name is Bobby.
Okay, Bob. My name. Well, if you can call
Bobby
Martin Luther King Marty,
Bobby's
I can call
already,
you Bob.
Bobby's already a nickname.
Very,
Bobby
excuse
is
me,
already
I've been
a
listening
nickname.
To you. Excuse
Arlene,
me.
Arlene,
excuse
it's already
me,
a nickname.
Bob.
It's already
Hello,
a nickname.
Hold on, Arlene. Arlene, yes? She's trying to tell you that it's already a nickname from Roberta.
That's right.
Okay,
you
I'm going to break
that.
It down some more to Bob.
You should know that. You're black.
Okay,
why should she know that?
I am black. And you know
because
what? I have
black,
a normal name. My name is Arlene. Okay? And you can call
know.
Me Earl.
Well, I don't know any white people. I don't
okay.
know any white people that
but,
are named that.
But
you don't know any white people
you.
Named Arlene?
No.
Oh, I know. It's a German name. So I know tons of Arlene. Okay?
Are
it's
they white?
From Germany. Look it up. Okay? Now, what I wanted to call and tell you, Bob, was I think you're very disrespectful to call Martin Luther King Marty.
What?
And then there
well,
is a white
have no
person.
Answer.
Have you ever heard of Martin Sheen? Have you ever heard of Martin Sheen?
He's an actor. Totally different. Totally different.
Why is that different?
Because Martin Luther King was trying to reach out to people. Actors are just drug addicts. They're not even... I wanted to unveil my plan on Monday to name every speed
okay,
bump
well, you
to
know
Western
what?
States
I applaud
after a famous African American.
God bless them for.
Yes, what would you call
what
would you call Malcolm X? Mal X or?
Yeah. You know, if you want white people to understand Dr. King, make him.
They
acceptable.
Already understand let me give you a little clue. You've studied Martin Luther King.
Then the
you
lady
know
that
there
was...
were tons of white people that marched with Martin Luther King. There were tons of white people
well, they
that
were
helped
Jewish.
Martin Luther King get out of jail.
They were
and
Jewish.
There were tons
they were
of
Jewish.
Yes, they were
no,
Jewish.
No, they were.
Technically, Arlene, they were Jewish.
Well, they're okay. still white.
Well,
is Jane Fonda Jewish?
Jane Fonda didn't march with Martin Luther King.
Oh, you better go back and look at the film.
No, she went to
okay,
Vietnam.
Okay.
She went to Vietnam. Thank
and she
you.
Did
yeah.
other things too,
no,
darling.
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Is Marlon Brando is
okay.
he Jewish?
Who was the woman that was told to get off the bus?
Is Marlon Brando Jewish? Is Marlon Brando Jewish?
He's Italian.
Okay. Well, you said only Jews march with him.
Marlon Brando
so
didn't march with Martin Luther King.
I think you should go
King.
Back, go in the archives,
Marlon Brando,
honey, get your facts.
Well. How do you know
and
Marlon Brando
fact,
marched
you're
with him?
You're so illiterate. I don't see how they voted you in the first place. You are the most illiterate person.
Do you know what
and
I mean?
You almost
I
killed
worked...
someone in a wheelchair. You are so illiterate, honey. Go read a book. I heard it's fundamental. I really did. I heard that somewhere, and you know I
What's
read a fun? Lot. So
I read a lot,
I would
too.
Suggest,
that's why I want
I would
to help
suggest
white
that you go
understand.
And read.
And it's white people like you that don't want whites to understand things. You want everybody to be stupid.
No, I'm not saying everyone is stupid.
I wanted to unveil a plan on Monday to name...
That you are, Bob.
We just put in speed bumps to name after African-Americans.
You put in speed bumps because you almost wiped out a crippled child.
You almost killed a child in a wheelchair, okay?
You almost... killed a crippled child, you illiterate
when
barbarian.
When Rosie Perez was told to get off of that bus
I
in Montgomery, Alabama.
I bet your speed limit there is like 10, 15 miles per hour because they have people there in wheelchairs and it is a community.
Oh, you just know all about where we live, don't you? You haven't listened to me once. When Rosie Perez was told to get off that bus in Montgomery...
Listen.
That was the beginning of the...
Rosie Perez, huh?
I'm sorry.
Rosie Perez. And Rosie Perez has
Rosa
to be a Latino
Parks.
Actor.
All right, I made a mistake.
I told you you were illiterate.
I made a mistake. Oh, I'm
you're
illiterate?
You're crazy. You're stupid. You are stupid, and I applaud them for removing you from the presidency.
You know what? The lady might have a point here.
Who was Rosie Greer then? I don't.
Rosie Greer was played for the L.A. Rams. Rosie Perez is an actress, and Rosa Parks was the one who was told to get off the bus.
It's my bad.
Listen,
my
Bob.
Bad, Arlene.
Bob,
I'm using Black
go to
Talk.
Memphis?
I'm using Black
Memphis.
Talk. My
Bob.
Bad.
Bob.
Phil Henry
hey,
Show.
Bob.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley, former president of Western Estates Homeowners Association, has been stripped of that title. She wanted to rename Martin Luther King Birthday's Day to Marty King Birthday. This to make white people better understand because it's an informal name.
That is correct, Phil. And I also really am angry over the fact that you are allowing people to call me stupid when, in point of fact, I have a great knowledge of Martin Luther King. I have a great knowledge of African Americans. I know all about them. I know what they like and what they dislike. And I know that Marty King is a way that will get more white people to understand his life. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Phil, you have to understand, whites are really, really stupid when it comes to the lives of black people.
Don't let many men march.
We are going to, on Martin Luther King's birthday, talk about the Million Man March, what it meant to Marty King.
The Million Man March?
Yes.
The Million Man March was not Martin Luther King.
Yeah, it was. It was the March on Washington.
The March on Washington was Martin Luther King. The Poor People's March on Washington was Martin Luther King. The Million Man March was Louis Farrakhan.
No, Phil, that...
It was Louis Farrakhan, and it took place like 6 years ago.
No. You're confusing him. You're confusing him.
No, I'm not. The Million Man March was not Martin Luther King.
Phil, please. You're really showing your ignorance.
No, you're showing your ignorance. The Million Man March was not Martin Luther King. It was Louis Farrakhan.
You want to bet?
Do I want to what?
You want to bet?
Yeah, I'll bet.
How much?
I'll bet you one of my paychecks against one of yours.
You're on.
Oh, man, you just lost a lot of money.
I'm going to look it up on a website right now.
Go ahead. Go to your little website, wherever you got to go, man.
Phil, I don't understand why you're being hostile.
Look at... You can say whatever you want to say. You can call the first woman to be taken off a bus in Montgomery, Alabama in 1956, Rosie Perez, if you want to. Her name was Rosa Parks. And it was not the Million Man March. 1-800-449-8686.
You are really intolerant. And the reason why we are trying to rename it Martin King Birthday is to make it more tolerable for whites.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd love to take a website poll to find out how many white people would really dig Martin Luther King's birthday if the name was changed to Marty King's birthday. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Joan on the Phil Hendry Show. Joan?
Mrs. Dooley?
Yes,
How dare you slow down? No, let me talk. You've talked. How do you slow down for a speed bump? Look in the rearview mirror. Know you've knocked this child over. Her wheel is spinning. And then not stop to get out to check on the child. If the child has MD, is she supposed to get out of that wheelchair, pick up her wheelchair, and get back in it? If she did, she wouldn't have MD. Not only should you be stripped of the rights you have been stripped of, you need to be stripped of your driver's license. I'm surprised you don't even have a civil charge of hit and run on you, girl.
You're white, aren't you?
You have a nice day.
You're white, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
That proves you don't care about Marty King's birthday. You just care about the girl.
I don't care about Martin Luther King.
That's
I'm more worried about this
correct.
Child that you said you've hit.
And if I renamed it Marty King's birthday, you would understand him better, wouldn't
no.
you?
No. I would not. His name is Martin Luther King, and I'm not calling for Martin Luther King.
You don't care
I'm
about Martin
I'm calling
King?
Because I'm upset over the child.
She's talking about
I'm
the child.
I'm calling on a different subject.
She's talking about the kid.
No,
I'm calling
the
about
reason,
the kid that you said you hit.
The reason why you are is because you know nothing of Marty King.
I'm not calling for Martin Luther King, ma'am.
I know you're not.
I'm calling about the child you hit.
I know you're not.
The child you hit and did not get out to see if she was okay.
I know
I'm
that you are not.
I'm not calling about
I
Martin
know.
Luther King.
I know you're not because you don't know anything about him. And
no,
I'm more concerned about a children's life, a child's life, than I am about changing some man's name.
If the
Do you understand that?
If the child
you must be a very unfit mother.
Let's talk about the child that you hit.
The only thing I care about is children.
If the child
I don't
was
care
black,
who you call him, what you call him.
If the child was
I
black,
don't care
would you
if
care?
You call me a nickname.
If the child was black, would you care?
Yes, I would. I would stop and I would get out to make sure the child was okay. I don't care if she was black, green, red, yellow, Chinese, Japanese. I would get out and stop to make sure the child was okay.
And
how
what
dare
if that
you
child's
say
name...
I looked in my rearview mirror and she was okay, so I kept going.
And what would
how
you do?
Dare
if,
you?
What would you do if that child's name was Marty King?
How oh, will you come on? If the child's name was Marty King, you looked in your rearview mirror.
I'd like to answer the woman's question. I looked in my rearview mirror. I saw the wheelchair spinning around, but she was fine. She wasn't knocked over.
Out of respect for the child, you should have got out and said, "Are you okay?" and help her with her wheelchair.
Joan, I am on the go. I'm the president of our homeowners association.
So am I, but if I hit a kid, I'm going to stop.
I
don't care if it's a meeting with the president.
Well, what if you didn't
or
hurt her?
Or whatever you want to call him. I'd stop to make sure that child was okay. You are one unfit mother, and that woman ought to bring
Well, what is she going to tell me? The child has multiple dystrophy.
You have a great day, ma'am.
She has multiple dystrophy, and she can't say anything.
And I shall pray for you.
She had multiple dystrophy. She couldn't say anything, Phil.
Well, what do you mean she couldn't say anything?
I mean, if I had gotten out and I had said, "Are you all right?"
You would not be able to talk to her.
What?
You wouldn't be able to understand, blah, 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 blah.
It was all gibberish.
What do you mean she's got multiple dystrophy and it would have been... First of all, it's called either multiple sclerosis or muscular dystrophy. Now, which is it?
Multiple dystrophy.
Multiple dystrophy.
No, it's either multiple sclerosis or muscular dystrophy. Which is it?
You can't talk to my wife like that.
Oh, please. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Beverly on the Phil Hendry Show. Beverly?
Yes. Ms. Dooley.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what kind of drug you're taking, but I really
I
do think you need to go back to
your
doctor or whatever street corner that you got it from so that you
Why?
Can get yourself together because the comments that you're making are totally ludicrous. Marty King Day and about you hitting the little girl, if I could find you, I would do a citizen's arrest for you on
what?
You.
How are you going to
because
arrest me? The girl was fine.
You have no idea. I don't even know what people put you in charge of a board of any kind.
It's the Western Estates Homeowners Association.
Well, you know what?
And they are primarily European American.
No, I wanted them to understand. They are ignorant people such as yourself.
Well, they're stupid because they don't.
They are ignorant people such as yourself.
They don't know about
Marty
King.
Because you have no business on the air talking about changing somebody's name. Did anybody ask you to change your name from Dooley?
I'm not famous.
No, they did
not.
So why do you think you have a right to change Martin King Day
because we
so that the white American can understand it better?
That's it.
Whatever it is, a complicated name. If it's a complicated name, then you're the stupid one because you're trying to make it uncomplicated.
I'm done with
Martin
you.
Luther King is not a complicated name. And if white people don't understand it as such, then they're stupid and ignorant like you.
Beverly, I
thank you. And you know what?
I'm down.
You have a nice day. And whoever the little girl that you hit, I hope that her parents sue you, or better yet, I hope that she calls the police to pick
Beverly,
you up. Because that's what you need to be. You need to be in a rubber room, and you need to stop taking the drugs from the street. And
well,
I think
I
that's
you would
the problem right now, that you're taking
you
drugs from the street, sweetheart.
Beverly, okay? And I'm down with you.
No,
what
you,
do you
no
mean
you're not down?
Down
with me, sweetheart, because I'm not down with anything.
I'm hip to the groove.
You're not down with me. You don't know me.
I groove the street.
You groove the streets?
What does that mean, you groove
the
streets?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. What does that mean? I don't know about grooving the streets.
I hang with the peeps.
Oh,
who
you stop
they?
It.
Who are they?
The peeps.
Who are the peeps?
What's the peeps, Steve?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Ain't you black?
No idea at all, and I don't think you do either.
Aren't you black?
You're black, aren't you?
I don't think you do either, sweetheart. What you need to do is to stop smoking the crack, stop smoking the marijuana, stop doing the drugs, and maybe...
Right.
You as a person,
well,
or whatever you are, can come to some kind of terms with yourself because you know not what you're speaking.
Hey, Beverly, you want to see my bling bling?
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's it.
Oh, my God.
All right, thank you.
You know, Phil, I roll with the homie.
Oh, shut up. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley, Western Estates Homeowners Association, with her husband Steve Dooley. On Martin Luther King's birthday, they proposed to change the name to Marty King Birthday, and apparently it has created such a flap, she's been fired from her job as president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. You got people questioning your sanity, too, but you claim to understand the plight of the African American.
Well, Phil, I am a white person who gets Martin Luther King. And I understand the plight of African Americans. If you look at what happened to Whitney Houston and O.J., look at O.J. He got involved with a white woman, and look what happened. You see what I'm saying? I think that.
What do you mean he got involved with a white woman, and look what happened?
Well, I.
You're going to be involved with a white woman. You're going to want to kill her. I want to kill my wife every week.
That's what Steve says. He wants to kill me at least once a week. Imagine a white man saying that about his white wife. What would a black man feel?
What are you two talking about? That was a normal thing?
I'm saying I understand the plight of the African... Suge Knight, P. Diddy, all of them have had a problem.
You know, your understanding of African Americans may be one thing. Your understanding of white people is probably pretty lacking, too, in that you want to change the name of Martin Luther King's birthday to Marty King Day so that whites get it more about Martin Luther King.
White people don't get Martin Luther King. Got to change to Marty King.
That's what we're trying to do.
Well, I don't know. In an attempt to make white people understand Martin Luther King's birthday, it sounds like you're trivializing the man a little bit. Here is Charles on the Phil Henry Show. Charles?
Yes, praise the Lord.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm a bishop in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. What's up?
I beg your pardon?
What's up?
What's up?
Never mind the what's up, okay?
Please,
I'm
sir.
Sorry.
That's right. You need, let me tell you what the word is, what's up. The what's up is
D-O-double-G.
Ignorant. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is ignorant.
What about what happened to Gary Coleman?
Excuse me? No, let me, excuse me, don't you talk, let
mm-hmm.
me talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because y'all talk to my number just like I'm talking to you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
When you said the Million Man March.
Wasabi.
Right, you know what I hear that? Hold on for a minute, Reverend, if you wouldn't mind, it's Phil Henry speaking. If I hear that wasabi or what's up one more time, I'm hanging up.
I didn't say that.
Well, tell your husband to shut up. Go ahead, sir.
He's very ignorant. And in the name of Jesus, uh-huh. I hope you have sense. The march. Excuse me, sir. I am speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're that ignorant, you need to be hanging up. Now, salam alaikum. Do you know what that means?
That means African talk.
Excuse me.
Isn't that African?
Excuse me, ma'am.
Will you ask me what it means?
Ma'am, you shut up. Now,
that's the name of a lake.
The Million March.
Wait a minute. It's the name of a lake.
Isn't that the name of a lake?
Jesus. Go ahead, Charles.
Sir, I feel sorry for them.
I thought that's what Arnold used to say to Willis on Different Strokes.
You know, you have a problem. It's a mental problem, and I pray God that your mental problem will be solved.
Charles, would you say...
Louis Farrakhan and his men have went to Washington, D.C. I pray grace is masked upon you, Lord, that this is Satan, and we will give Satan an eviction notice.
You're preaching to the masses.
Look at Mr. Dooley, shut up. Now, Reverend, would you tell these people the Million Man March was a Louis Farrakhan production, not Martin Luther King?
It was Louis Farrakhan, because some of my members went with them, and I have a lot of my friends that are with Louis Farrakhan.
You know what we call him? We call him Louis Farrakhan because he's so far out there.
Well, ma'am.
Oh, boy.
Ma'am,
mm-hmm.
listen at me, please.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you the best of grace
Thank
in the
you.
Name of Jesus because
Thank
you need
you.
It.
I would love to have you speak at our church. I really would. I think.
Baby, the way you is,
mm-hmm.
I would not. I don't think I would. Pass in front of you, church. God bless you. I love y'all. God bless you, radio announcer. Y'all have a blessed day. In the
name
of the
radio announcer.
My name is Phil Henry, Charles. I understand.
Phil Henry?
You got
all right, sir.
Charles.
Y'all have a blessed day.
I would love to have you come to our church.
Y'all have a blessed day in the name of Jesus.
All that crazy
God bless you.
Black church
God bless
stuff.
You. God bless you.
One of my favorite records is Black Moses by Isaac Hayes. Oh, shoot, he hung up.
Oh, get out of here, both of you. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show here. That was Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and they can go kiss my Irish ass. All right, now, I would like to tell you about our website, philhenryshow.com. By the way, the voices of both Bobby and Steve were performed by me there. Poor Charles. Our website, philhenryshow.com, what you do is go to that website and you get your backstage pass. That's the only way you're going to be able to enjoy all of the audio from the Phil Henry Show. We have today's show on demand. That's right, today's show, anytime you want to hear it. And we do have people calling occasionally saying, how can I get a hold of this show? How can I get a hold of that show? The way you do it is go to our website, get a backstage pass, and log on to our 30-day archives. Also, every day we post a synopsis of the preceding day's show, and we have clips from the preceding day's show. So we tell you exactly what happened on the program, we give you a small audio example of what happened on the program, and then you can go listen to the whole show, or not, as the case may be. Maybe the clip we put up sounds so horrible, so horrific, so stomach-churning, you wouldn't listen to this show on your best day. Or maybe what we put up there intrigues you, causes you to wonder anew about your life and all of its possibilities, and you want to log on to the archive and listen to our show. Whatever your pleasure be, Massa. Just go to philhenryshow.com. All right, I slipped into a little there because it just seems so right after the hour we just had. Go to philhenryshow.com. Get your backstage pass. That's philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com. 1-800-449-8686. Boy, it looks like we have grown up about Martin Luther King's birthday. Don't you think? I remember when it was a big hassle in Arizona, when they didn't want to have it. Remember that? There were a couple of states that didn't want to have his birthday. And then the NFL said, well, then you don't get a Super Bowl. And all of a sudden, magically, almost as if they saw the light, they said, oh, well, you know, in that case, we love Martin Luther King. People love a dollar. And that's probably the healthiest love that there is, because the love of the dollar has made us do the right thing over and over and over again in the history of this country. Martin Luther King himself proved it down south when he boycotted various businesses. When they lost all that money, all of a sudden all them crackers, I mean all those fine white business people down there said, well, maybe black folks sitting at our lunch counter isn't such a bad idea after all. You see, the love of a buck has inspired some very good things. Who said money's the root of all evil? Who said that money will only drive you to hardship and unhappiness? The love of a dollar caused the state of Arizona to recognize Martin Luther King's birthday as a national holiday. And it was the love of a dollar that caused all of those businesses to recant and allow African Americans in to use their lunch counter and their changing rooms and their dressing fountains. And is it called a dressing fountain or a changing? It's a water fountain. It's a water room or a dressing fountain. In any event. By the way, you can get our CD, too, So Long As I'm Talking About the Love of a Dollar, at 1-877-616-7445. I Love a Dollar, you get a really great comedy CD. How can you go wrong? 1-877-616-7445. That's what it's all about. Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Tomorrow's election day. Vernon Dozier with us from the nonprofit organization Room for the Handicapped. Vernon, good evening to you.
Good evening, Phil.
And Proposition F4 is effectively going to give you guys who are advocates for the handicapped more room, right?
Absolutely. It's going to give us the ability to monitor different areas that the handicapped access that people who are not handicapped have taken advantage of. The large stalls in bathrooms, for instance, the large stalls in public restrooms, these large stalls are for the handicapped and for the handicapped only. And if we know that someone is in one of those large stalls who is not handicapped, what Proposition F4 will give us the right to do is to get those non-handicapped people out of there.
How would you do that?
Well, you can do it in a variety of ways. The way that we proposed to Assemblyman McClinton is that we just simply tap on the door, as I'm doing right now on this park bench I'm sitting at, Phil. Just tap on it. Somebody who is sitting down and doing, their business, it's difficult for them to concentrate when someone is tapping on the door. And we reserve the right to do that.
Do you find that non-handicapped people using stalls for handicapped people, is that big of a problem?
It's big enough. You have non-handicapped people going in there, clogging the toilet with toilet paper, leaving a disgusting toilet behind them, and then you have a handicapped person who wants to go in and use it, and they don't want to use that. So we'll get them out of there that way. The other abuse, Phil, of course, are the handicapped wheelchair ramps that we see everywhere. Now, those ramps are specifically for people in wheelchairs. Those ramps are not, and let me underline the word not, for people with legs that are ambulatory to just walk up and down the ramps. And what we can do through Proposition F4 is we can stand at the end of the ramp, and when someone who shouldn't be on it gets to the top, we'll block the end of the ramp and tell them to go around to the stairs.
Block it with your bodies?
Block it with our bodies, yes.
So that they can't get by you?
So that they cannot get by us, yes.
Well, so people who are not handicapped may not use handicapped stalls or ramps.
We want the right to make it so irritating and so inconvenient for them that they won't be on there.
But what if there's nobody? So even if there's no one in a wheelchair?
Even if there's nobody in a wheelchair.
Who needs the stall or the ramp?
That is correct.
Nobody who has legs is allowed on there?
No.
What do you do?
You can do anything you want. You can go back to your car and leave if you want, or you can use the stair. Do it. I don't care. Personally, what you do isn't of interest to me. You don't do it in a place where the handicap go. And we have the lowered drinking fountains. We have the lowered urinals. Some guys think they're funny. They use the lower urinals, and they get them messy, et cetera. So we're going to tell these people you can't do it anymore, and we can do it in a variety of ways.
All right, I'm talking with Vernon Dozier. He's with Room for the Handicap as an advocacy group. They're pushing for the passage of Prop F4. How do you know that somebody is sitting in one of those large handicap stalls who isn't handicapped?
It's easy, Phil. You walk by the door, you glance under the door to see if there are wheelchair tires or the crutches or canes, and God forgive me and God bless them if they only have one leg. Obviously, you're going to see one foot, or you'll see the pants down around one foot, and there won't be a foot in the other pant leg. You'll also see the very thick sole and a normal shoe on the other. Excuse me, there are ways of peeking through the crack in the door, and if I see anybody in there who is not handicapped or crippled or however you want to put it, then we begin tapping on the door. So you don't have to get pushy with these people.
So while I'm sitting, if I'm using, because I got to tell you something, I've used the large stalls before.
Well, those days are over.
Vernon, there is a law against using handicap parking. But there doesn't seem to be a law against using handicap stalls, handicap ramps.
Well, we are saying with Proposition F4, while you can't ticket somebody and you can't fine someone, you can irritate them or essentially just bother. Get off the ramp.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. With me is Vernon Dozier from an organization called Room for the Handicap. And this is Proposition F4. It's on the California ballot this year, basically saying that you are not to use, those of us who are not handicapped cannot use handicap stalls, urinals, drinking fountains, nor may we use the handicap ramps. Now, what about handicap parking? That is still illegal to use, and so handicapped people have access to that.
That is true, Phil. The problem with handicap parking is there isn't enough of it. So at Christmas time, at holiday time, whether it's Thanksgiving, etc., what we will do in our organization, Room for the Handicapped, and other organizations, is we can put traffic cones on additional spaces. And that way, we will reserve those spaces for handicapped people, however many they need. And I think handicapped people should have as many parking spaces as they need.
I don't disagree with that, but what do you mean put traffic cones?
What I mean is we'll block off...
You'll block off spaces with traffic cones, and anybody who comes along who isn't handicapped?
They don't park there, no. It's almost a way, in my opinion, it's a way of blocking the handicapped, to be able to walk up the ramp, sit on an elevated toilet, or bend over a really low drinking fountain from a drink from a handicap fountain. You're making fun of these people. And if there's one thing that drives me out of my mind, it's when people make fun of the handicap. I don't like it. I've never liked it. I never thought it was cute or funny. And with Proposition F4, we're now able to make all of you non-handicapped people, and I'm one of them, Phil. You're not going to mock the handicapped anymore. You want to go up some stairs, go up some stairs. You can keep your, excuse my language, your butt off the ramp and out of the handicapped stall.
All right, now, where did I see this news story here? I'm talking with Vernon Dozier of A Room for the Handicap, 1-800.
Well, hold on, Phil, and I wanted to say...
I'm going
to
give our number here, 1-800-449-8686.
We don't want the non-handicapped using the blue line... the blue line walkway from the handicapped spaces to the blue, to the building entrance too. Walk someplace else. That is specifically for handicapped people.
Those are the blue crosswalks?
That's right. And you see more people using that who aren't handicapped, and it burns me up. And what I do is I'll stand in the middle of the crosswalk and I'll say, guess what? You get to go all the way over there to the white one because this isn't where you walk. And you get grown men sitting and giggling to themselves because their legs can dangle from a handicapped toilet seat. It isn't right. It isn't right. And
now, I understand you have had questions about the eating habits of people that caused some trouble over one of the commissaries at the studios.
We have a saying, Phil, what's worse than the challenge is the perception. And what that means is you see a lot of people sometimes making fun of the mentally challenged and the way they eat. I saw some smart-ass TV executives over at the Fox studios eating hot dogs without a bun, string cheese. All of these things are the main fare of the mentally challenged.
Wait a minute. A guy eating a hot dog without a bun?
Well, that's purposefully mocking mentally challenged people because that's the way they eat. And you'll also see them do that. They'll take cheese out of the wrapper and they'll eat a piece. They will take string cheese, eat string cheese in full view of mentally handicapped people.
And that's mocking them.
That is mocking them. They'll have...
Is your phone's cutting out?
I'm sorry, Phil.
Because I lost you there. Go ahead.
They are eating a hot dog out of one hand and string cheese out of another. They eat cheese like it's corn on the cob. And all of this does is mock the eating habits of the handicapped. Our handicapped, mentally challenged, do tend to eat graham crackers and cream cheese. And so I walked up to these guys and I told them to knock it off.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here. I'm going to take some phone calls for Vernon Dozier of the organization Room for the Handicap. Proposition F4 is on the ballot in California tomorrow, which would make it legal for handicap advocates to confront anybody using handicap facilities. Gabrielle, I believe it is. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, hello. I'm calling from Vermont, and
yes,
I was
ma'am.
Listening to the commentaries, and first of all, I have one statement to make. There are many facilities that are handicapped accessible, but they are multi-use facilities. In other words, many restrooms here for the ladies are handicapped accessible restrooms.
Of course.
One toilet and
yes.
one sink.
Yes.
When we go in and use it, we're not making fun of the handicapped. We just have to use the bathroom.
Well, why don't you use your own toilet? Why don't you use your own toilet? That's all I'm asking. You're using the big toilet, and that means that I
There's only one toilet, Mr. Man, so
ma'am.
You don't have a choice.
Let me ask
one
you, can I jump in?
And excuse me.
Can I jump in, ma'am? This is the host of the show. I want to jump in. Why is it necessary to have such a large toilet for the handicapped?
They need a lot of space.
Know,
they need
I
a lot of space.
Don't know.
Well, he wasn't asking you, ma'am. He's asking me.
Okay.
They need a lot of space when they go to the bathroom. They I don't know why. But they fall over, and this is what happens.
Go ahead, Gabrielle. You were going to say?
Well, I was also going to say, right. In my church, we have a water fountain in the church, and we have one drinking fountain, and it is a handicapped accessible fountain, but we only have one. When the children use that fountain, they're not making fun of the handicapped.
Sure.
They're just thirsty.
I
think it's an obtuse argument, and
people.
Also it's a very unfair argument to say that those of us who use a handicap facility are making fun of the handicap.
Well, you guys think it's a big
I think
hoot.
It's just fairly basic. We're either thirsty or we have to urinate, and it's as simple
as that.
Well,
ma'am, when you see the wheels
totally
of a wheelchair, when you see
and
the
it's
wheels...
another one of these liberal things that is
well, ma'am,
complete totalitarian.
When you see the wheels of a wheelchair roll into the stall of a handicap bathroom while you're sitting there, you're making a mockery out of that poor guy.
I am not making a mockery of anybody, mister. I'm going to the bathroom.
Well, then why don't
you
use one of your own
much.
Stalls? Why don't you use one of the stalls that are meant for
because
you people who've got
I've
legs.
I've never used a handicapped stall when I have access to regular stalls. But this is Vermont.
Well, wait a minute.
We're not as wealthy as California.
I gotta
we
ask
cannot
a question,
put up two regular stalls and one handicapped stall.
So,
we
some poor guy.
One stall that is multi-use.
You well, I can tell you this, Gabrielle. Gabrielle,
and
I can tell you that the state of Vermont, the state of Vermont has the highest concentration.
Handicapped person, and it is the only
right.
toilet.
Well, Gabrielle,
don't you dare tell me I'm making fun of somebody.
All right, ma'am, I understand
me.
That. The state
I
of...
am going to the bathroom.
All right, ma'am.
And if you have a problem with
Gabrielle, you got to let somebody talk.
You
got to let somebody talk here.
Advocate
you
got to
let somebody talk here. Okay, go ahead, Dean or Vernon. I'm sorry.
I was going to say the state of Vermont has the highest concentration per capita of war veterans, and so you do have a lot of these men who need to use the toilet. Now, if Gabrielle wants to sit there on the can, doing her nails, freshening her makeup,
I don't go to the bathroom.
While some poor veteran, some man who fought for your freedom, is sitting out there.
Excuse me, you don't know.
And it's running down his leg.
The day I go to a men's bathroom is the day you can put me away.
A lot of you women use the men's bathroom. A lot of
you
women use the men's bathroom, okay?
You cannot have a logical, concise,
I'm having a logical argument with you, ma'am.
No, you're not. You're telling me I go to a men's bathroom?
When it's crowded, when the women's bathroom is crowded, a lot of you women go to the men's can. I've seen it. I've seen it. Tell me that you women don't go.
I don't. And if you're watching women go into the men's room,
let me ask you this.
You need to do something for a living.
And while you're in there, and there's a poor crippled woman sitting out there waiting to use the bathroom, perhaps
I've
she has a bladder problem, perhaps she's incontinent.
We have less people in
you're
this
sitting
state
in there
than you have in a county in Los Angeles.
Using too much toilet
your
paper.
Your argument is
and,
wiping. Your argument is absolutely out of line.
Well, a lot of you,
the problem
a lot of you conservatives, I think,
when you are
very
given
Nazified.
All right, what happens then if there's only
now,
one toilet? You answer me a
question.
Have you
read Adolf Hitler's diary
of the
Mad?
If there's only one toilet,
yes,
and it is for handicapped and regular,
absolutely,
and there's not a single handicapped person around,
right,
and a woman goes in to use that one toilet, is she mocking the handicapped? Yes,
yes
or no?
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. You are mocking
She's
the
mocking the
yes.
handicapped by using a handicapped toilet, which is the only facility.
Yes, ma'am. And I'll tell you why, Gabrielle.
Okay.
I can tell by the sound of your voice, because you conservatives love to make fun of cripples. You conservatives love to make fun of handicapped people. You always have. You think it's a joke.
I'm not going to disqualify you.
And so this is what we're trying to do. This is typically you conservatives to mock a one-legged man.
Argument that you cannot answer.
Well, the lady,
actually,
the lady
you
did.
Very well.
The lady did
you
ask you a question.
Women are
never mind.
To urinate
it's only my
rather
show.
Than use
forget
the one and
it.
Only toilet.
Ask
and
that
so
question
what
again.
I say to you, sir,
how would you feel if
you
lost the
biased.
Use of your legs and there's a gal sitting on the bull reading Oprah magazine and it's running down your leg? How would you feel about it? I don't think you'd feel too good.
You are absolutely ridiculous.
I'm ridiculous.
Yes,
you conservatives,
sir, you, are,
you conservatives
just,
love
listen,
to crap
you know
wherever
what?
You want.
I'm going to forgive you, and you know why?
You know what, Gabrielle?
You're from California,
you Republicans,
and you don't know any better.
You Republicans
Thank
like
you
to crap,
very much.
Crap in anybody's
All I can
yard.
Say is this. What is your handicap,
Do your
sir?
Business. You.
What is your handicap, sir?
Talking to you. That's my handicap, but as soon as you hang up,
what about
then
now,
I'll be able
person,
to be, help you well.
If a deaf person uses the handicap toilet, if a deaf person uses the handicap toilet,
yes.
are they mocking the handicap?
If a deaf person uses, they're handicapped, so they're not.
Okay, but how would you know they were deaf if you were using your logic about looking at their shoes,
their feet,
and their
feet? I bet your nickname is Gabby.
No, so wait a minute. Maybe the deaf woman is sitting on the toilet reading Oprah magazine.
Well, Gabrielle,
how do you know that unless you're going to now have
you
a conservatives, police officer
you conservatives have a long history of tying the handicapped to the back of pickup trucks and dragging
them.
So,
emphysema is a handicap.
Well, I think that
now,
many of you Republicans
a handicap, how are you going
who
to
have
know
enjoyed
that
lynching the handicap for so many years.
Under the toilet.
Well, I will answer
your
that question.
Sir,
I'll answer your question.
Your logic is
I think you enjoy.
You know what? I've taken up enough time.
Gabrielle,
hold on. A man like
hold
you.
On, Gabrielle.
God bless you,
Gabrielle.
And I certainly hope one day you grow up.
Gabrielle, are you hanging up now, or are you going to listen to anybody? I guess she hung up.
I wanted to say something, Phil.
What was it?
Well, Gabrielle is like a lot of Republicans. They like to tie the handicap to the back of trucks and drag them for blocks until their bodies come apart. And
oh, my God.
Well, they do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The argument here is, you know, should we people with legs be using handicapped toilet stalls, etc.? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, Vernon Doja with me for room from the organization Room for the Handicap. Now, if all goes well in the elections tomorrow, Proposition F4, if it passes, you're finally going to see an ability on the part of you guys who advocate for the handicap. You can keep regular people off of wheelchair ramps. You can keep them out of handicap stalls. And you can keep them from generally mocking the handicap, right?
That is correct. You can't have a police officer do it. But this will give us, private citizens, the right to go onto a wheelchair ramp and tell someone who is not handicapped to get off. And it'll also give us the right to go into a handicapped stall and tell someone who isn't handicapped to get out. Now, that lady that I was talking to sounds like one of your typical liberal or conservatives who likes to think she owns everything. She thinks the handicap stall is her own personal backyard where she can take a dump, do her nails, stink the place up, by the way, and then leave. And somebody else has got to come in with the Lysol. I think that's wrong. I think it is.
Well, that's a little over the top, don't you think?
Well, I just think it's wrong. Now, if all goes well in the election tomorrow...
Let's talk to the issue of not mocking the handicap.
Well, you're not going to see people, non-retarded people, drinking out of juice boxes and eating only the yolk in a hard-boiled egg. And mocking the handicapped.
Because the handicapped are the only ones that drink juice boxes and eat the yolk out of a hard-boiled egg?
Pretty much, yeah.
And they're the only ones that eat hot dogs without buns and cheese slices without bread.
Yeah, you got that. You almost think you wrote this bit.
Yeah, I did. 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier from Room for the Handicap. We ought to be able to just, regular people ought to be able to go into non-handicap stalls and whatever. What did you say?
Go into the stalls that are used by the handicap and kick non-handicap people out.
And force people who are eating hot dogs without buns not to do it.
That's correct.
Yeah, that'll pass.
You bet.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And we're joined by a nationally syndicated columnist, Margaret Gray, and this is A Little Bird Told Me. Margaret, how are you?
I'm good, Phil. I want to read something that I wrote, and I'm going to put this in my column tomorrow. Tell me what you think of this. This is about men, and I want all the ladies listening to hear this, because I know you're going to identify with this, and I guess I'd like all the guys to listen to it too, Phil, because it's really about them as well.
All right.
Men. The nice men are ugly. The handsome men are not nice. The handsome and nice men are gay. The handsome, nice, and heterosexual men are married. The men who are not so handsome but are nice men have no money. The men who are not so handsome but are nice men with money think we are only after their money. The handsome men without money are after our money. The handsome men who are not so nice and somewhat heterosexual don't think we are beautiful enough. I know there's a lot of women identifying with this, Phil.
Go ahead.
The heterosexual, somewhat nice men who have money and who think we are beautiful are cowards, which means they won't ask us for a drink. The men who are somewhat handsome, somewhat nice, and have money, and, thank God, are heterosexual, are shy and never make the first move. The men who never make the first move automatically lose interest in us when we take the initiative. Now, having said all of that, who the hell understands men? And then I got one more.
Go ahead.
Men are like a fine wine. They all start out like grapes, and it's our job to stomp on them and keep them in the dark until they mature into something you'd like to have dinner with. Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun, Phil?
So you wrote that?
Isn't that fun? I wrote that for my column tomorrow, and I just had an inspiration. It's really fun when the inspiration hits you, and it just flows out of you. And I don't know if you've ever done any writing, Phil, but being a writer, I just write all the time. I write, because that's how I express myself. And I guess what I want to say is I thank God that the Lord showed me what it is that I'm so good at early in my life so that I could share it with everyone.
Well, that's an inventive little thing. The men, it's all about men.
Isn't that fun? And again, it's about how inspiration comes to me.
Do you find yourself when you, do you find that you're writing all the time?
All the time. I'm writing all the time. I'm always creating, always writing, always taking down notes, always looking for something to do. I write. I've always got ideas. I'm never at a loss for ideas. I'm always pitching some idea. I'll give you an example, Phil. You're going to find this, and anybody out there who's ever wanted to write in television, tomorrow I'm going into Fox Television. I have a meeting with Jack Blodell, one of their A-line producers, all right?
Okay.
And I have absolutely no idea of what it is I'm going to pitch him. I've got a basic premise. I have no...
You've got a meeting with a producer at Fox, and you don't know what you're going to pitch?
I have no idea. But that is because I don't worry about it. I'm so creative, and I'm such a good writer, that things just come to me like this. I'll be driving over there tomorrow. I know this is what's going to happen.
Aren't you afraid? I don't mean to interrupt you, Margaret. Aren't you afraid of wasting the guy's time?
No, I never waste anyone's time. I am filled with ideas. Idea, 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 idea. It's always coming to me. I know I'm going to be driving over there tomorrow, and I'm going to think of something, and boom, that's what I'm going to pitch Jack with. And Jack Blodell is one of the top producers at Fox. So I have no... Here's an idea. This just struck me. Listen to this. This is fun. Listen to this, Phil. Okay.
All right, now we're going to have to give our phone number.
No, but just listen. This is really a lot of fun.
All right, let me give our phone number out. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray, she's a writer, and she's talking about writing and how she gets inspiration.
All right, but listen, this is fun. This just came to me right now. Listen to this. Here's an idea I've got for a TV show, and I probably will pitch Jack Blodell with this tomorrow. A woman with three children meets a man with three children. The blended family. Do you know what that is?
The blended family is a very popular thing. I mean, that's people who have children marrying other people with children.
The blended family is what they're calling it now. This is what it's going to be called. And this just came to me right now, Phil. It's just coming to me right now. So listen to this. This is what being creative is like. Ideas are always there for you. So listen to this. The title of it is Blended Family.
All right, pitch it the way that you would pitch Jack Blodell tomorrow.
All right. Here's how I'm going to pitch Jack Blodell. Blended Family. I pitch this. A woman with three children meets a man with three children. They marry. And it's all about something that no one's talking about, the blended family. They have a cook or a housekeeper, give me an occupation, Phil. A cook, a housekeeper, come on. Give me an occupation.
A cook, a housekeeper, a maid.
Keep going. A maid what?
She's a cook, a housekeeper, a maid, a gardener.
She's a gardener. She works for them, and she has a side romance with who? Who does she have a side romance with?
A butcher.
A cop, the neighborhood cop. And the whole TV series is about the blended family. The mother is like me. She's a writer. The father is, he's a DA. He's a district attorney. He deals with his kids, and it's a comedy, and we can call it the blended family.
All right, so the mother has three kids. The father has three kids. They get together.
They get married, and all of the fireworks begin. She's a writer. He's a district attorney. And here, she's black and he's white. She's black and he's white, and he's always making jokes. Now, this is how it's going to come out of me tomorrow when I pitch Jack Blodell, all right?
All right, so this is a blended family. She's a writer. He's a DA, a district attorney?
Yes.
They have three children each?
Yes, and they're all boys. All boys, six boys. She's black with three black sons. He's white with three white sons. They get married. He's always making jokes about what are we having for dinner tonight. It's going to be fried chicken or watermelon or something like that, because that helps diffuse the racial tension. Okay?
I don't want to tell you what to do, all right? But
just listen to me. This is how it works with me, Phil. This is a, okay, racially mixed family. He makes a lot. What are we having for dinner tonight? I hope it isn't more fried chicken. Ha, ha, ha. Cue the laugh track. You see what I'm saying? You just come up with these ideas.
You know, this is well beyond me, coming up with ideas for TV shows. Now, this show that you're going to pitch tomorrow, you just came up with right now?
I just came up with it right now. Let me write it down. I've got to get over to Fox tomorrow. Do you want to have lunch tomorrow?
Well, we're on the air right now. We can talk about our lunch.
All right, hold on. Blended family. She's black. He's white. She has three black sons. He has three white sons. All right, Phil?
Okay.
Right. And there's racial tension in the house because the three black sons and the three white sons get into fights or whatever. The female gardener is Asian, and she's always saying, hey, I bring potting plants. All right, so you get a little of the Asian
Isn't some of this stuff sort of racially, sort of a stereotype?
No, it's hysterical. There's an Asian gardener. She's an Asian housekeeper, that's it. Asian housekeeper. And she always says something to the father like, oh, I don't know, I bring potted plant into house, you know. You fool, you kid, get out of here. You know, always mess up rug.
Okay.
And the cop is Mexican. So it's an Asian. She's having an affair with a Mexican neighborhood cop. And he's always slapping himself in the forehead and going, I chihuahua, you know, something, 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 okay?
Well, Margaret, you've written for television before. Is this stuff sort of stereotypical in terms of the racial content?
No, this is absolutely original because it features something that is very close, very endemic, very much a part of the heart and soul of America, the American blended family. Isn't that fun? So you have three black sons, three white sons, the mother's black, the father's white, and she makes, and you can go down the Stephen Bochco road, you can go down the road where she makes fun of the fact that he has, I don't know if you can do this, make fun of the fact that he has a small penis or something.
No, I don't think you're going to get away with that.
Well, I'm saying if ABC picks it up, all right. I'll tell you something, Phil. I am a very, very creative woman.
Well, if you came off with that off the top of your head.
I write on the run. I write on the go. And I have notebooks filled with ideas. And that was something, you know, when I was a child, we had a black nanny. And she took me in her arms after she saw some crayon drawings that I had done. And I'll never forget this, Phil. She said, this child gon' be have the shining. Do you know what that is, Phil?
No, this was an African-American?
Yes, she was not very educated. She said, this child gon' be have the shining. And my mother asked, what is the shining? And she said, don't worry, you'll know. And what it was, Phil, was the fact that I have infinite creativity. And it's just like that for me.
All right, Margaret, you have your notes on that TV show.
Yes.
All right, hold the line here. 1-800-449-8686. We're involved in something kind of unique here. We're listening to Margaret Gray write a proposal for a TV show that she is going to be pitching to Fox tomorrow. She calls it The Blended Family. It's about a father and a mother, and she has her kids, he has his kids, and they all blend together. She's black, he's white. The housekeeper is Asian, and the cop that she's having an affair with, or is having a relationship, I should say, is a Mexican. 1-800-449-8686. And this thing that you call infinite creativity, a black nanny identified as The Shining.
Yes, that is when you have infinite creativity, and it's something that our African-American nanny told my mother. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that fun? It's fun to know that you have that kind of talent.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Lori on The Phil Hendry Show. Lori, go ahead.
Hey, I want to know, what institution did you come out of, lady? This, all you're doing is taking different genres from different shows that have already been on TV and putting them together as your own and saying,
I don't know what you're referring to.
You're this creative woman.
What are you referring to?
You're taking the Brady Bunch / The Simpsons TV already and calling them your own?
No, dear. First of all, my show has a black mother and a white father.
Okay, so it's the Brady Bunch for the year 2000.
I beg your pardon?
It's the Brady Bunch for the year 2000.
No, it has nothing to do whatsoever with the Brady Bunch. She's black, he's white. He makes jokes about fried chicken. They have the racial tension in the house. How is that the same?
He's the black one?
You can't, darling, you have to really be careful. I don't steal any ideas.
Well, Lori, let me ask you something. What's the Brady Bunch?
The Brady Bunch?
Yes, ma'am.
You have the male father figure who's the architect of the family with
my male
sons.
My male's a district attorney.
I don't know what she did in the show.
She didn't have a job.
Be a writer or something.
My female has three girls.
Then you had your maid /housekeeper/ take care of the children person.
Ours is a gardener.
Who's always taking care of the kids. Brady Bunch.
No.
Have your Simpsons with all the different ethnicities there doing all their different ethnic things. Like, you have a some guy on there that says that. You have your Indian guy who does his Indian thing.
There is no one on the Simpsons
store.
There's no one on the Simpsons that says I Chihuahua.
Yeah, you're doing a blend here.
No,
a blend of different shows.
There is no one creating anything new. May I say something, Mr. Hendry?
Go ahead.
There is no one on the Simpsons that says I Chihuahua.
I think if you research it, you will find somebody on The Simpsons that says Chihuahua.
You know something? If you research it long enough, you might be able to find that butterflies fly out of your ass. But that
isn't the fact. Are you an educated woman?
Yes, I'm sorry, that's not a very educated response. You've never heard the term pigs flying out of your ass. You've never heard of that.
It's not pigs fly out of your ass. It's pigs flying from your rear end.
All right. Lori... Don't be jealous because Chihuahua is a line on The Simpsons. Where? From what episode? From what character? You can't tell me.
Oh, man.
You know something? When you are faced with creativity, and you can't explain how creative I am, you have to invent things.
Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray is with us. She's pitching a show to Fox tomorrow called... The blended family, a father, a mother, she's black, he's white, she has three sons, he has three sons, and all of the shenanigans that they get involved in, as well as the Asian housekeeper and a Mexican cop that the housekeeper is having a relationship with. Our number, 1-800-449-8686, it's The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, first of all, reality TV is something that can be very big, in my opinion, because it is... something that doesn't really cost a lot of money to produce. Hiring actors, hiring writers, that's expensive. So I also have decided to pitch a reality-based show. On this program, we get contestants. We put them on an island.
All right, now this is starting to sound like Survivor.
No, it's not like Survivor. Listen to this. We put them on an island where, yes, they will be tempted by... other people sexually.
Okay, that sounds like Temptation Island.
Hold on, though. Listen to this. They're going to be tempted by other people sexually, but they also have to deal with things they're afraid of. All right?
No, but that... Margaret, you've got fear factor...
Phil, just listen to me. They're roughing it. They're living in tents and having to eat bugs because they're afraid of that, but they're also sexually turned on. Now, that is absolutely original.
They're on an island that they have to rough it on.
Yes. They have to rough it on this island. There is a very difficult times for them. They can't, they don't have fire. They don't have any way to cook food. They don't have any real food to eat. They find fruit that's infested with bugs. And that's also something that scares them. And through it all, they are continually sexually turned on by each other. And so the challenge of this show is to see if they wind up having sex with each other and then just starving to death.
Really?
Yes.
What do you call this show?
I don't know. Why do you sound it?
Oh, come on. What do you mean they wind up having sex with each other and then starving to death?
Because the program involves... Phil, I am a very, very inventive person.
I'll give you that. I understand. You create a lot of great shows.
There's another idea. Then we throw a crocodile in the tent while they're having sex.
Well, what is that?
That combines Fear Factor, Temptation Island, and Survivor into an incredible show. I don't know what we can call it. We can call it Sex and Death Island. Sex and Death. The two things that go hand in hand. You know why, Phil? Do you know why?
No.
Because we will actually risk death to have sex. So on Sex and Death Island, people are hungry, they can't cook their food, they're also afraid of crocodiles, and they want to have sex with each other. So they screw each other's brains out while a crocodile threatens to eat them.
How could a guy...
perform sexually?
Yeah.
That's it. The contestants that can't get thrown off the island. So if he can't get it up...
All right, fine.